You're listening to SarasotaDog.com, audio edition, The Daily Bone.
Welcome to Sarasota Dog. This is the audio edition. Today, we're talking about diabetes in dogs, and we're joined by Dr. Melissa Claus. She's with Critical Care and Veterinary Specialists of Sarasota. Welcome, Dr. Claus.
Thank you. I appreciate the invite.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. What I understand about diabetes is kind of the basics that really your cells are powered by glucose. And the glucose is carried into the cells through insulin. And if that process is not happening effectively, then you have a diabetic situation. Am I on the right track?
Yeah, definitely. There's a couple of types of diabetes. One is when the pet is, or human person, is not making enough insulin. So the pancreas is the organ that's responsible for making insulin. And in most cases in dogs, the problem is that they're not making enough insulin anymore. But there's another type of diabetes, and that's more likely to be seen in cats and dogs that have other endocrine diseases. And that's when the body is still, or the pancreas is still making insulin, but the insulin is no longer able to affect the cells the way it used to. The cells are kind of resistant to insulin. So those are the two types that we see.
Mm-hmm. And I think I had read that it's most common in female dogs.
I believe so. Honestly, I don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
And it's not really something that comes on in puppyhood. The dog is usually 4, 5, 6 years old.
Definitely. It's something that happens usually a little bit later on in life.
And in most cases, how is it detected?
So one of the most common signs that owners will talk about is that their dog can't hold their bladder anymore, or they're really, really thirsty. So they'll have accidents, urinary accidents in the house, and they'll be filling up the water bowl all the time because their dog is just drinking uncontrollably. Another sign is weight loss despite having a very good appetite. So these dogs, because they can't use the glucose that's circulating in their bloodstream, their cells start to, kind of wither away, and they will lose weight, but they'll still be really, really hungry because they don't realize that it's the fact that the glucose can't get into the cells that's the problem. They just assume that their glucose is low. So they'll have weight loss in the face of a really good appetite.
Is this something that when I take my dog in for an annual exam, and for some reason if they're doing a blood panel, would they be testing for diabetes? Not unless some of these signs were showing?
Right. In any typical canine blood panel, the glucose will be on that panel. So if that is high, that will be picked up. A lot of us don't have yearly blood panels on our pets. It's mainly it's something that we'll do if there's a problem, but not routinely. I forgot one other thing that can happen in dogs, but not cats, with diabetes, and maybe one of the first thing that the owner may notice is that their dog's developing cataracts. The lens of the dog's eye is becoming white, and the dog may not be able to see as well. And that's sometimes the first sign that the owners will pick up on as well. But back to your first question, if blood work is going to be done, then it would be picked up on that. The glucose is a routine part of most blood panels.
Mm-hmm. And is there any way to control or keep it in check with nutrition?
It depends. If you have so cats, yes. In many cats, you can keep them at a more normal blood sugar with diet changing alone. But most dogs will need to be supplemented with insulin. Dogs just tend to have the type of diabetes that is insulin deficient, and they require insulin supplementation.
Right. And do you actually does the owner actually do blood sugar tests like they do on humans?
It can be done. It depends on the willingness of the owner and the willingness of the dog as well. I mean,
right.
In order to collect blood, you only need a very, very small amount, and the glucose readers are available at most pharmacies that you can purchase. you know, you just your dog, you have to be comfortable getting a little spot of blood from your dog, and your dog has to be comfortable of you doing that for them. But
right.
Even if you were to measure blood glucose at home in a diabetic patient, just to kind of see how they're doing on a day-to-day basis, it's still very important that they have, you know, frequent checkups with their vet to have what's called a glucose curve, and that's a way to monitor how well the insulin is working over over time.
Just
little spot checks where they go into the hospital for a day, and the glucose is checked every 2 hours for
a
whole day.
Sort of like an inpatient.
Yeah, but just a day check. So they'll be home by the evening. They just need to be there during an 8 to 12 hour period.
And how often do you do that? Quarterly or?
When they're first diagnosed, it is done pretty frequently until we establish a dose that works well for that patient. So if we start them on a dose based on, you know, kind of the baseline of what you'd normally start a dog at, they stay on that for about a week to 2 weeks, and then we have them come in for this glucose curve. And depending on how that glucose curve goes, we may need to increase or decrease the dose of insulin. And if we need to change it, then we need to recheck them again in another 2 weeks. Once we've established the appropriate insulin dose for that patient, then a glucose curve every 2 to 4 months, kind of depending on how long they've been diagnosed and how well they've been doing on that dose, is recommended.
Right. And are there any restrictions in terms of exercise, those kinds of things?
No, definitely not. It's important to try to keep these dogs lean. The fatter our patients are, the more likely they are to have a contribution of insulin resistance as well as having low insulin. So keeping your diabetic patient nice and thin with exercise is good.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these dogs could have difficulty with that if they have cataracts. But fortunately, there's ophthalmologists that can do surgery to remove cataracts from the lenses, and the dogs can see again very well.
Really?
So that's something to consider if you have a dog that's blind from cataracts. There is a surgical way to correct that blindness.
Mm-hmm.
But exercise is certainly recommended.
Okay. Well, Dr. Claus, you're more than a regular veterinarian, which is quite a lot, but you're a veterinary specialist.
Yep.
Can you tell me about that, what that means?
Sure. So after I finished veterinary school, I did a year of internship, and then after that I went on to do a 3-year residency program, and I have specialized in emergency and critical care. So I take care of patients on an emergency basis, but also I take care of really critically ill patients that, if they were people, would be in an intensive care unit receiving the most intensive type of medical care there is. So here at our practice, we have an animal ICU, and in that room, I you know, will take care of the very, very sick. The other thing is that after the residency, I had to take and pass a board examination in order to be considered a board-certified emergency critical care specialist. So that was the step I took right after my residency.
I see. And each state has a separate board, is that right?
So the board to practice medicine in Florida is a little bit different. So all specialists, once they take their specialty medicine board exam, they don't have to take anything specific for the state that they live in. However, in order to practice veterinary medicine in a state, you need to take that state's board exam. So any veterinarian that graduates from veterinary school takes a national board, and then they take a state board.
Okay. And what are some other examples of the types of veterinary specialists besides emergency? Would it be like oncology?
So anything. I mean, anything that you can think of that would be available in a person. There's veterinary dentists, there's neurologists, there's oncologists, there's internal medicine specialists, there are cardiologists, criticalists like myself, anesthesiologists, surgeons. There's a whole bunch of different veterinarians out there that specialize in a specific field.
Right. So how did you decide that you wanted to be a veterinarian?
Oh, wow. ages ago, when I was a little kid, I was always interested in like biology, you know.
Right.
And I knew when I was little that I wanted to go into medicine, or I told my mom I wanted to grow up and be a surgeon. So kind of as I was growing up, I had a lot of pets, and I kind of gravitated more towards the animal medicine side of things than the human medicine side of things. And I mean, it's just kind of been a growing experience since I was little, with, you know, working as a veterinary technician for years and years, and going through college and, you know, experiencing the farm animal aspect of things up at my college in New Jersey, and then just pursuing a career in veterinary medicine after that.
Gotcha. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I've really appreciated your explanation and helping me increase my understanding about diabetes in dogs, and I know all of our listeners will appreciate that. Dr. Klaus is with Critical Care and Veterinary Specialists of Sarasota on Tamiami Trail. Thank you.
Definitely. Not a problem. I really appreciate the ability to come and talk with everyone. Thank you.